Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This is the reading of God's word. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, we pray that by your grace, your people will hear your word. Hear the loving voice of our God through your word, telling us wonderful stories of Jesus Christ, what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us also see our heavenly reality and rejoice because of what you have done and accomplished for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Oh Father, we pray that as we hear your word, our faith will grow. And Father, they will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we start looking at 2 Corinthians, we will look at Hebrews 11 and deal with this question, what is faith? Which will help us to understand what Paul says and ultimately what God says in 2 Corinthians better. We will stay with Hebrews 11 for about 4 weeks. Then we briefly go to Acts 9, and then we will start 2 Corinthians. And what we're going to look at for next few weeks is very, very important, especially in understanding what our church is all about. Without understanding this, your joy in this church life will be limited. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, God says, right before what we have read this morning, God says that my righteous one shall live by faith. My righteous one shall live by faith. True Christians, they live by faith. Then the question is, what is faith? What does it mean when we say we live by faith? And understanding this is very important. Well, there is only one faith. It's not like we have many different kinds of faiths. Only one. And this faith makes the one who has it to do something. When you have faith, you will not stay idle, but you will do something. Faith makes the one who has it to do something, and when we look at the Bible, there are at least three things that faith makes the one who has it to do. The first one, when you have faith, it will make you acknowledge, approve, accept, and believe who God is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and what God has done and what He has accomplished. Acknowledge, approve, accept, and believe the Bible. Obviously, you already know this. When you have faith, you'll do this. But just doing this is not enough. Because if you go to James chapter 2, verse 19, James sarcastically says, You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Demons also believe and tremble. What is his point? Well, demons also know these things. So by demons also acknowledge, approve, accept, and know and believe who God is and what Jesus has come to do. When you see him casting out a demon, and by looking at their conversation, demon knows who he is, who Jesus is, and what he has come to do. So, just acknowledging and approving and accepting who God is and what he has done is not enough. The second thing that faith makes you do is this, that it makes you to trust God. It makes you to entrust yourself to God. There's a difference between number one and number two. Let's say in number one, you say and you accept, you approve that God is almighty and all-knowing, and he loves you and he takes care of you. And then you really, really worry. You worry all day long. Then question to you is that, do you really believe what you just said in number one? If you do, then why do you worry? If you know that God is almighty, he all knows everything, he takes care of you, he has all the power in the world to take care of you, and everything is according to his plan, do you believe, really believe? Then why do you worry then? So number one is not enough. You got to also do number two. You have to trust him. You have to entrust yourself to him. Depend on him. You know, I give this example whenever I say these things. You know, my son used to trust me a lot when he was younger. But since I made so many promises that I could not keep, now he questions as he gets older. And all the fathers in this room, they know what I'm talking about. Let's say I said to my son, hey, don't worry, I'll take care of that problem or whatever that it is. I say to him, I'll take care of it. And he says, really that? Yeah, I will. And he says, okay. But 5 minutes later, he comes and asks me, are you really going to take care of it, Dad? I say, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll do it. Okay. But 5 minutes later, he comes back and says, are you really, really? And let's say this continues. At some point, I will get angry. Why? Because he doesn't trust me. But this is what we do to God all the time. As if he cannot be trusted. That we worry. So, when you have faith, not only it makes you accept, approve, acknowledge, and believe who God is and what He has done and what He has accomplished, but it also makes you trust Him. Completely entrust yourself to Him. That's what true faith will do. But there's one more point that we must look at. Faith will also make you do something else. Not only number one and number two, but also number three, which we'll focus today. And that we see in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, you have to follow me very carefully here, because I really need all of you to truly understand what we're saying here. Because I believe this is very, very important in our Christian living. Now, here, the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. First of all, the things hoped for and the things not seen. If we look at the context of the book of Hebrews, then it becomes clear what God means by these things, things hoped for and things not seen. If you go to chapter 10, right before our passage, I'm going to read from verse 32. But remember the former days when after being enlightened, meaning after you were saved, you endure a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourself a better possession and a lasting one. So these people were hoping for something that is lasting, not an earthly possession, but the heavenly one. These people were being severely persecuted, and what they hoped for was the things not seen, the heavenly, the eternal possession. And if you go back, chapter 13, well, not go back, but in Hebrews chapter 13, the author of Hebrews says, let's go to Jesus and suffer with Him. And he says in verse 14, for here, meaning here on earth, we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Again, they were seeking the heavenly city, the lasting city. So, if you look at the context, the things hoped for and the things not seen are referring to the heavenly things. So, faith is the assurance of heaven and the conviction of heaven. If you replace the things hoped for and things not seen with the word heaven, faith is the assurance of heaven and the conviction of heaven. Assurance of eternal things, conviction of things that we cannot see, but we believe. But we have to do a little bit more to this verse. Here, I prefer the King James Version. King James says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Rather than the assurance, we have the word substance or the reality. And rather than the conviction, we have the word evidence or witness. So there are differences in translation here. NAS, which I read to you in the beginning, which I always read during the worship time. Faith is assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. King James says, faith is the reality of things hoped for and the witness of things not seen. The NAS has shown us faith as our subjective act of believing. See, I have the assurance of things that we hope for and the conviction, I have it, of things not seen. So NAS shows to us faith as our subjective act of believing. Whereas the King James shows to us faith as an objective reality. Faith witnesses the reality of it. And I like King James version better. The Korean Bible follows the King James. I don't know how Vietnamese Bible does. You could talk to me later. I actually wanted to know. I kind of asked Andy a long time ago, but I forgot what he told me. So we'll follow the King James Version throughout looking at chapter 11 of Hebrews. So, we put all this thing together, and verse 1 can be read like this. Faith is the reality of heaven and the witness of heaven. Faith is the witnessing the reality of heaven, reality of things hoped for and things not seen. Here in Hebrews 11, the focus is not so much on the justifying faith, like we see in the letter to the Romans or Galatians. There, Paul speaks of faith in terms of justifying faith. You believe Jesus to be justified. But here, in Hebrews, the focus is on the persevering faith, not so much on the justifying faith, but persevering faith. You are already justified, but you still need faith to persevere. And this is the focus of Hebrews. It's different from what Paul is focusing in the book of Romans or book of Galatians. And by the look of your faces, some of you are going, huh? But, you know, I could repeat this to you, but I don't know how better I could explain this. Maybe you could come to me individually and we talk about this. But here in verse 1 of chapter 11, faith then makes one who has it to witness the reality of heaven. Faith demonstrates the reality of heaven. Faith demonstrates the things we hope for and things not seen. That's what faith will make you do. Now, what does that mean then? Faith witnesses the reality of heaven. Well, let me explain it like this. When you look at my face, and I know it's, for some of you it's hard, but when you look at my face, I witness the reality of Korea. As long as I live with this face, No one can deny the reality of Korea. If there is no Korea, then I would not looking like this. I'd be looking some, you know, different. But this face witnesses the reality of Korea. By living by faith, we will witness the reality of heaven. There are people living in Korea right now. How about in heaven? Yes, there are people living in heaven right now. Things are going on in heaven right now. People are living and they're gathering to worship and praise God. And they're just having wonderful time together. Things are happening in Korea right now and things are happening in heaven right now. Then how can I witness what goes on in Korea here in the United States? I don't know, maybe you could say all kinds of things. Perhaps eating kimchi, or kimchi as Americans will say. Let's say I eat kimchi. By doing that, I witness, I demonstrate what is true of Korea here in the United States of America. I show you a picture of Korea here by eating kimchi. Now, I know that is ridiculous example, but I just want you to get the point. Because we're trying to understand what does it mean to witness the reality of heaven. By doing these things, I show you what is true of Korea. Now, faith will show to the world what is true of heaven. Then, what is the reality of heaven? In order for us to witness that, we must know what it is. What is true of heaven? How can we know? Well, only through the Bible we will be able to know the reality of heaven. Do not listen to any of these people who says, I went to heaven and came back and, you know, describe to you how heaven is like. No. We don't want to hear them. There are only two people who went to heaven and came back in the Bible. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, and Paul, who said, well, he doesn't directly say it was him, but we understand it was him. He said he went to the third heavens, meaning heaven. But when they came back, what did they say? Well, John wrote the book of Revelation showing us heaven in a symbolical language. It was all symbols. And that kind of explains what Paul says. Paul says he came back and said, I cannot put in words. I cannot use words to explain it or describe it. So you tell me, how could these people who said they went to heaven and came back describe in detail how heaven is like? When Paul could not, he says, it just cannot be expressed. Do not believe these people who say that they saw heaven and describe heaven in terms of this world. You know, I read one book that says, you know, things like, oh yeah, my house was 10 stories high in heaven. And then describing heaven in terms of the world, this world. If heaven is like that, then if I have enough money, I could build heaven in this world. That kind of heaven is not biblical heaven. Heaven has nothing to do with this world. You cannot describe heaven in terms of what is here in this world. Just the fact that they do, we know it's false. Nothing earthly is in heaven. You know, we even sing like, you know, we sang, you know, golden pavement. You know, all the roads in heaven will be paved with gold. If you read the Bible carefully, it says it seemed like gold. It didn't say it is gold. Oh, maybe some of you go, oh man, then forget it. I'm not going to heaven. It's not gold. No, he says it looks like gold. How can he explain it? You know, just symbols. Because there's nothing like it in this world. Well, anyway, then how do we know what is true of heaven? Well, we could speak heaven in spiritual ways. Let me give you one example. There is no lying in heaven. We always speak the truth. No lying in heaven. That you know from the Bible. No one will lie in heaven. You have been saved. You have been saved as the one who will never lie in heaven. And that life, the Bible says, has already begun in Jesus Christ. And that is what you confess. You believe that. You are a son of God who will never lie in heaven. And that is your present spiritual heavenly reality. That is your eternal reality. Seems like some of you are cold. Understand? Bible tells us that no one will lie in heaven, and you belong to heaven, and that heavenly life has already begun in you. That not lying forever is your present spiritual reality. It's already your reality in Christ. And you must witness the reality of heaven. Faith will make you do this because you believe. You believe you have been saved as a man or woman of heaven who will never lie forever. That faith will make you witness that reality. Yes, time to time you will fail to witness this, and it is sin. But even if you do not witness it well in your life, that does not mean your heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus has accomplished is negated or canceled. Yes, you do not do that well and you sin, but doesn't mean you're not because you do not witness it well. Jesus has already accomplished it. Even you not witnessing it well cannot negate that. But if you believe, the true faith will make you demonstrate who you are in heaven. It will make you demonstrate the reality of heaven. We believe, and your life must flow out of what you believe. Otherwise, you're not living by faith. That's what it means. Whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you think will flow out from what you believe. Otherwise, whatever you do is not by faith, and God says, whatever is not of faith is sin. It must flow out from faith. You must witness what you believe. You live accordingly. You know, Young Kim who lies, that is not who I am forever. That is not someone that our Lord Jesus Christ has made me to be. He made me as His Son who will never lie in heaven forever and ever. So whenever I lie here, I sin, but I am denying what Christ has already made me to be. Thus, I'm not living by faith. I'm not living according to what I say I believe. The true Young Kim. And that is not what you see with your physical eyes, even though, you know, I might be wonderful to you, but this is not true, Young Kim. Yes, it is true, but not true. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because true Young Kim is glorified Young Kim who will never lie in heaven forever and ever, and that life is mine, my life in Christ already. I possess that life. I will be like that, and I am already like that in the sight of God. And I must witness that reality. The life of heaven has already begun. How can I then witness the reality of heaven, the reality that I will never lie in heaven? How should I live here to witness the reality of heaven that I will never lie in heaven? That's what God made me to be. How can I witness that in this world? Well, by not lying. By living according to what I believe who I am. Because of what Jesus has done and accomplished. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, for us, it's never morals. We do not lie because it is bad. Yes, it is bad, but that is not why we don't lie. We try not to lie. It's never morals for us. That's what the world says. But for us, we do not lie because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And what did He accomplish for us? He made me a citizen of heaven who will never lie, forever. That is why I do not lie. I try not to lie. Never explain these things in terms of morals. That is not what Christianity is all about. What Christianity is all about is what Jesus has done and what He has accomplished. That's what Christianity is all about. We believe. Thus, we live accordingly. Faith drives us. Faith dominates us. We live by faith. It is all about my eternal reality, my heavenly reality, my reality of salvation that our Lord Jesus has accomplished. See, I live by faith. It is about who I am, what kind of person that I believe our Lord has made me to be forever. It is about living according to who I am in Christ. My true identity, true Young Kim in Christ. Because that is who I am. That's what I believe. Yes, you know, we don't do that perfectly. Well, far from it. But doesn't change anything. We sin, we repent, and we try again. We live by faith. Now, go to 2 Corinthians, and, you know, 2 Corinthians is filled with these kind of things. And that is why we're going through these things, so that we may understand 2 Corinthians better. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. It says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, according to that verse, and this is very important, guys, walking by faith, according to the Bible, is the opposite of walking by sight. Walking by faith is the opposite of walking by sight. Now, walking by sight is walking by the things that are seen. But faith is witnessing the reality of things that are not seen. Walking by sight is walking by the things that are seen, walking by the earthly things. And how can I say this for sure? Look at, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 makes it clear to us. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So what does Bible talking about when it says things that are not seen? Well, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, when Bible says eternal, you know it's heavenly things. Because anything of this world is not eternal. It's all temporary. So, we walk by faith, not by sight, not by things that are seen, not by worldly things. Because things that are seen are temporary. But things that are not seen are eternal. The things that are seen are earthly. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and all of you, I pray, are raised up with Christ, if you are saved, that means, then keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. All of these verses are saying the same thing. You are to set your mind on the things above, not on the earthly things. Brothers and sisters, you must understand that there are two realities for us right now. Two realities. one that is seen and the other that is not seen. Now, question is, which one is more real to you? The things that are seen or things that are not seen? Sadly, many of you will say things that are seen, that's more real to you. But if you look at this wall, you know, you could touch it, you could feel it, but when you come back here about 500 years later, probably you will not see it anymore. But things that are not seen, heavenly reality, is forever. It will never change. Jesus Christ has accomplished it, and it will not change. And if your whole life is focused on temporary things, you will be sad when that day comes. But this world is all about this world. Because for this world, there is no heaven. This is it. This is everything they have. This is it. So for the world, living according to the world makes sense. Because this is everything. But for a Christian who believes that this world is just temporary, and if that person lives focused on this world and worldly things, there's something wrong with that. Actually, there's a lot wrong with that. It really doesn't matter what the world says who you are. Let's say you become a doctor. And I'm not against being a doctor. But, you know, so many people say, oh, their whole purpose is to be a doctor. Everybody wants everybody to be doctors, you know. So doctors get blamed for my sermons. But nothing wrong with being a doctor. What I'm trying to say is this, that when you are a doctor in this world, that is only for a brief time. Maybe 60 years, 70 years, and that's it. You will not be a doctor in heaven. We don't need doctors in heaven. But if your whole life is focused on who you are here on earth, and that's, you know, your whole motivation for your life, that is sad life. Because your whole focus is on temporary things, not eternal things. The reality of heaven is eternal. Who you are or what you are in heaven is eternal. It does not change. You know, it shows when you're introducing yourself, you meet, you know, stranger, and for the first time you meet him and says, oh, hello, I'm young and I'm whatever. The first thing that you say about yourself, obviously, is important to you. So a doctor will say, oh, I'm Young Kim, and hey, I'm a doctor. Proudly. But even doctor is temporary. So, brothers and sisters, when you introduce yourself to someone, you say, hey, hello, I'm a son of God. Everybody would think you're crazy. Mm-hmm. But you are Son of God. And to me, that is the most important thing about myself. I'm a Son of God, a bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so proud to be one. Even when the world hears it, and laugh at it.
I will have pity on them. They just don't get it.
Yes, they were going to think you're crazy, but it is true. We must witness the reality of heaven. Faith witnesses the reality of heaven. Some say that they are wealthy in this world because they have good faith. Now that's a comedy right there. Because Bill Gates, he's not a believer and yet he's so rich. What, he got rich because of his faith? No. Good faith does not make you rich. That is a lie. You don't even have to have faith to be a rich person. Because faith is all about things not seen. Heavenly things. And here, what? Faith, you connect it to earthly things? No, it's earthly things are common grace. Even if you're non-Christians, God will give you. Brothers and sisters, we will love one another in heaven forever. That is the reality of our salvation. This is what our Lord Jesus has accomplished for us. And we must witness that reality. We must love one another because that's how we are going to be forever in heaven. Whether you like it or not, you will love me forever in heaven. You will. So why not start right now? Because you're going to do that forever anyway. Because that is who you are in Christ. He made you that kind of person already. Realize it. Believe it. And live accordingly. Live by faith. You know, even in this world, people say, where did you come from? Did you fall out of the sky? What do they mean when they say that? Meaning that you do not fit. You are not like the people around here. You do not act nor speak like people around here. You are not like the people of this world. That's what they're saying. And you should hear that a lot. Because you do not belong to this world. You don't. You are not the citizens of this world. John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, our citizenship is in heaven. We have two realities, heavenly realities, reality and earthly one. Which is more real to you? Let me put it this way. Where are you seated? Where are you seated? And you say to me, what? I'm sitting on this chair in this room. That's one reality, reality that is seen. You are sitting on that chair in this room. But Bible also says, Colossians 1:13, for he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He has already transferred you into the kingdom of God. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes, you are sitting on that chair in this room. That's one reality. But your spiritual reality is that you're sitting with Christ at the right hand of God. And that's also your reality. There is the reality that you see, and there is the reality that you do not see. Just because you do not see it, does it mean that it is not real? Do you believe? Which is more real to you? Because you sitting on that chair, that reality is temporary. Yeah, just in 1 hour. Well, I'm not indicating by that my sermon will go 1 more hour. But just in 1 hour, you will see. You're not going to be sitting in that chair anymore. That reality that is seen is temporary. But you sitting with Christ in heavenly places is forever. If you do not see heaven, then this world is everything. And this world, living according to this world, is so natural. For them, this world is everything. But this world is not everything for us, and we cannot live as if this world is everything. For us, this world is very uncomfortable. You know, I told you a story of a fish in the sand. You know, you got out of your... See, your natural environment as a Christian is heaven. But it's like fish taken out of his natural environment and then thrown into the sand. Oh, just think how uncomfortable that is. And you are like that. Your heavenly citizenship living in this world. It's very, very uncomfortable. It should be uncomfortable. Unless you belong to this world. The world does not understand us. The world do not know what we are talking about. All we want to do is what God told us to do, but the world laughs at that. You start talking to your friend about your conviction, your assurance, your faith, and they don't get it. Your family members do not get it. We do not fit. Like living with clothing and shoes that do not fit. It is truly uncomfortable. Thus we join John in praying, "Come quickly, Lord." This does not mean that we do not care about our lives in this world. We know that's not what it means. We give our best in the task that God has given to us. Laziness is sin. But we do not have any lingering attachments to this world. We have something that is far greater, something that is eternal. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you believe? What kind of person do you believe Jesus made you to be by saving you from sin and this world? And you must witness that reality of heaven by living by faith. Faith is naturally heaven-centered. We must, through our lives, witness that this world is not everything, that there is another world, the greater, the better world, eternal world. And we must witness that we are citizens of that world. We are one. And it is not something we accomplish with our own ability. It is already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe me, then just wait until you die and you will see that I'm telling you the truth. We are indeed one. Yes, you act like we are not many times, but doesn't mean that we are not one. I mean, we are one. We are one in Christ. And you will see that reality when we get to heaven. But even before we get to heaven, we believe. And through faith, we already see it. And you might ask yourself, I don't feel like we're one. I mean, look at this. You know, I have friends here, but I don't know. We're not one. But we are. Jesus made us one. And that is your confession. And you must witness the fact that we are one. You must witness the reality that Jesus has made us one already. Not doing it, don't want to do it, that's your sin. But still, it does not change the fact that we are one in Christ. You must believe. These people we meet in Hebrews chapter 11 lived by faith, witnessing the reality of heaven. Of course, they did not live like that all the time, but their life as a whole witnessed the reality of heaven. James said, faith without work is dead. Faith without the witnessing of reality of heaven is also dead. The righteous lives by faith. This is the truth. But brothers and sisters, I know we do not have confidence, and I have to deal with this before we end. Yeah, we said all this, and we understand, and we want to live by faith. But if we were honest to ourselves, we don't have confidence to do this. So we're going to read Hebrews chapter 12 before we go home. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross for what? For the joy that is set before him. When he was dying on the cross, what was the joy that sat before him? It's heaven. Because he's dying. His life in this world is ending. And the joy that was set before him has nothing to do with this world. The joy that sat before him was a heavenly joy, and that made him endure the cross. Now, if that is what made him endure the cross, what do you believe will make you endure your crosses? The reality of heaven. The hope of heaven. The joy of our eternal reality. But here, it tells us that we need to live by faith. But Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus creates that faith in us and he perfects it. So if you want to live by faith, you must trust Jesus. He who has created this faith in you will perfect it. You must trust him. You must believe. You must entrust yourself to Jesus Christ. You must depend on him. This is how we must live, by faith. But the object or the content of the faith is Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, you are what I call endangered species when it comes to true Christians. Endangered species. I know that's kind of try to be funny there, but you get what I mean. Brothers and sisters, let us live by faith, because more and more we see the people out there in the world, they don't want to do this. Even people who call themselves Christians, they do not want to do this. Let us do it. Let us witness to the whole world that this world is not everything. that there is far greater, better world that our Lord has accomplished for us. Now, I'm not saying we must live poor. No, nothing wrong with being rich as long as you live for the glory of God with your wealth. What I'm saying is that in those earthly things, the things that are seen, it just doesn't matter to us. You could be rich or you could be poor, you could be healthy or you could be, you know, sick. Well, it doesn't matter. Because your heavenly reality doesn't change. And you must show to the world that your joy is not attached to the earthly things. You could have it one day and you could lose everything the other day, but your joy doesn't change. Because your joy is in Christ. Your joy is in heaven. Who you are never changes. I don't care what you will become for a brief time in this world, but that is not who you really are forever in heaven. So your worth to me doesn't depend on what kind of job you get or how much money you make. Or how popular you are. Because you are already Son of God. And that will never change. You are happy in Jesus Christ. Even as we worship our God, what are we doing? We are witnessing the reality of heaven. Look at this. This is a picture of heaven. Because this is exactly what goes on in heaven right now. People are gathered and they're worshiping and praising. Yeah, they're not sleeping. But we're witnessing the reality of heaven. Even as we worship right now. See? See the reality of heaven that is true of you. Even as we worship, see the picture of heaven that our Lord has accomplished. Live your lives in a such way that when the world sees you, they might laugh at, but they cannot deny the reality of heaven, the reality that you do not belong to this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for our salvation. You have already made us a citizens of heaven, your sons, your bride. Oh Father, let us witness that reality as we live our lives here on earth. Let us live by faith. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.